Our next presenter is Gary Studi.
Hi, my name's Gary Studi. I'm really glad to be here. And before we actually get into it, the advice is to turn around and look at everybody next to you, get to know their name, and talk to them, because these are going to be your colleagues for the next rest of your career. And what you will hear, I hope, is talking to people, networking with people, and staying in contact with people is what is going to be your key to success. I met Derek about the time I got out of school. I was working in plant growth regulators. I don't do that anymore. But the society that Holly just talked about, at one point I was about her time of the career, the chair of that committee as well. And that's where I met Jeff and other people in the room. The people around you are going to be your colleagues, so be nice to them and don't irritate them. So the question I've got is, how did I get to here from there? And here is ASHS, and what I'm doing there is floating about 35,000 feet over the Gulf of Mexico doing a KC-135 flight in preparation to grow plants in space. That was not on my job description when I went to grad school. That was not my goal at all. In fact, I started in Fayetteville High School. That's me over on the far left. I was my children said, "Were you a nerd, Dad?" And I said, "No." And I said, "Well, what would you do?" And I was in the debate club and the chess club. No, you're not only a nerd, you are a geek by definition. And my goal, and I was, in 1975, I was president of the Fayetteville High School debate team. I was Arkansas State debate champion. I was going to go to college, become a lawyer, and I was going to fight injustice for the good of the environment and all that was holy. That's great when you're 18. But what had actually happened is the family ties are much greater than one's aspirations coming through to fight injustice and trying to be Superman through the law. And I had my history. I was born in Oklahoma. It was my father was an academic. He kept going back and back to school, but I was on the farm a lot. And when I was 10, I moved to a college town. That's the fighting injustice. But my father was a professor of agriculture. And to support some of my not so healthy habits in high school, I had to get a job. And I ended up working on that job at an agriculture experiment station in horticultural food science, picking green beans. And I ended up hoeing green beans, and I ended up hoeing and pulling lots of weeds. And there was actually a lot of work at that time being really started on some plant growth regulators. There was this stuff called ethryl just coming up, and it was newfangled stuff. But I didn't know a lot about that except I was hoeing. And then in the wintertime, I was having to take that data, and we would write it up, and so they kept me busy. And I decided I wanted to be on that end of the business instead of the hoeing end of the business if I was staying there. And so I went to college. And that ended up, and it turned out it was a lot harder to get into law school than I thought. And I didn't really like the law students. You'd look around the folks and you talk to them and you don't like them. Don't hang out with them. Just a lot of advice for living. And then, so I went into that most of you are, and many of us, the land grant university system. And so I spent 2 years at the University of Arkansas in horticultural food science. I learned to be a retort operator. I was a certified retort operator. I realized I would end up running a canning machinery for the rest of my life if I stopped there. So I went to Oklahoma State University, and got a degree in biology. And looked around, decided there's not so many jobs I could get with biology. So I went to another land-grant institution in Georgia, at University of Georgia, and I got that position because I worked for the scientists. Dr. Stan Kays, in a one-year stint that he had in at University of Arkansas. So after 2-3 years later, I called him asking if he could give me a recommendation, and he said, well, we might have a position. So we went down to that. I finished it. I started looking for a job, but then really didn't want a job. So I started looking for grad school, and so I was actually offered an assistantship in North Carolina, where my girlfriend, wife at the time, was at. And so my major professor said, why don't you look at California? I know somebody there. Why don't you write them a letter? So I did. And I made the mistake of, the professor was on sabbatic, so I couldn't meet him because he was over in Aberystwyth or somewhere, and he wrote me this paper. And he said, please review it. Let's see, I was going to be a lawyer, so I was going to change the world, and if somebody asked me to do that, I thought that was important. So I went through and did a very critical review of this paper of what was wrong and what wasn't right and how I didn't agree with these conclusions, and I sent it back to him. And I waited and waited. Two things I didn't know at the time, and we didn't have the internet there, but I waited. But I got a letter back saying he would offer me an assistantship if I were to come out, and we worked things out in California, and we talked, and I said yes, and I met him at a meeting before he said yes. But what I found out, that paper ultimately was the award-winning paper for ASHS that year. And that was George Martin, and he ultimately became the president of this particular society. And it's probably good that I didn't know that, or I'd have been intimidated to offend him, that I might say something wrong. But what I actually did was, what got me that position was I read it and told him what I thought about it, and I showed him I could think about things. I wasn't trying to impress him. I thought he actually wanted me to review a paper. I think that has helped to do that. But eventually I got through that degree, and I now had a young son, and I had to get a job. So I went through the land grant system, not going to industry. I did not want to work in industry. I was going to be a professor now and change the world from training the bright future people of the future. And so I went to work at the University of Maryland. And there I worked in pomology. I was doing teaching, working with fruit trees, growing orchards, kind of traditional horticulture things. And then the opportunity came to, I came down to this meeting, and I met a guy, and a job was opening up, and I was sort of casting about for something else. I said, why don't you come down to Kennedy Space Center? And we've got a position there in a project called CELS. And that was my gateway into industry. Is through that hangar. It's an impressive looking thing, isn't it? Makes you just want to come out and say, I want to work there. It had a big L on it. It was built in the 50s on an Air Force station. And being from a liberal college town, I thought that was not so good a thing. But we ended up in there, and behind those doors, I discovered farming on the moon. That was a project that was designed to test the feasibility of demonstrating long life support for one person for 1 year. And at that first meeting, I met somebody, I'll talk to you later, Neil Yorio and several other folks, and it was an incredible opportunity to then go work for a company, which is a contractor on a life science contract on the Kennedy Space Center. And it was microbiologists, engineers, physiologists, and we began to figure out how you could grow, keep people alive using plants for 1 year in a closed room. How cool is that? And we were using plants. It was, and I went down for 18 months. I was thinking I had a plant physiologist. I had 18 months in plant physiology Legoland. You know, we got to put things together and we got to play things, and that's now turned into something over 20 years. And in that period of time, we've moved out of that to another facility. That's the big chamber over on the left, the biomass production chamber. That project resulted in over 600 scientific peer-reviewed papers in the life of that project. And we were working at controlled environments. We were figuring out hydroponic systems, designing, testing light systems with companies that were very innovative. I began working with students, and I got a very distinct pleasure and opportunity to actually have two experiments that growing plants on the International Space Station. And that was going merrily along until I ran into the Irish. And they must have been there in Blarney's place. And the lady up to the right, Michelle Bennett, she's at this conference now, once again networking. She had come over about 2002. And then over a period of several years, the Irish government was sending students to our particular laboratory in Florida to train. And over the course of about 6 years, 27 students came. They spent from 6 months to 12 months, and I lost track of the number that were coming just passing through. And they were very enamored with some of the technologies, wanted to take that back to Ireland. We began working, and they got some growth chambers, and then resources fell up, and they just didn't have the expertise. So working through now, a European system, things I had never thought of. I thought these fellowships were only for people that were in academics. But they're not. We applied for it, and I got two-year funding and got a bit of what they'd call a secondment or leave from Kennedy Space Center to go to Ireland to help them stand up this laboratory. And we worked with a lot of students, and in the process, they now have an experiment that I'm helping them with that goes to the International Space Station, hopefully in September. And they will be coming back and working in facilities back in Florida. And those are relationships that had been built well over a decade. So what do I do? I don't know exactly on any given day. That's what makes life exciting. Does any of us really know what happens? But some thoughts I have is that what we need to develop those relationships, and those relationships develop opportunities. People respond to people. People do not respond to paper. People respond to people. So, and ultimately, you've got to do all of the things you've got to do to maintain credentials, very much like the previous speakers, but you've got to write, you've got to be competent, you've got to know what you're doing. But when all is said and done and everybody's competent, you're kind of going to go with the folks you kind of know. Because you know them, you trust them, you have some perception of them. So get to know the people around you. So this is an example of kind of what has happened in really the past few years of my career is students were coming over to take advantage of the opportunities that were being presented in Florida. We saw that as an opportunity to expand what we were doing and take that forward, and I just like to do that. I just personally like to show people around and give them new experiences because this is cool. Then they were taking that back and transferring that to someplace else, applying that knowledge to new opportunities, using the expertise now that they did not have to generate new activities that are coming back full circle. So do that and repeat. Do that and repeat. So that was, I want to thank you very much. And I want to thank, that is kind of the view from close to where I live now, and which is kind of cool. And so I am still in industry. I have, I am working for a private company. I have an affiliation now with two universities. I have a professorship in Ireland, but none of that would have happened if I had gone to be a lawyer. That not a single one of those had been a lawyer. Not one of those had happened if I had decided that I was going to do when I started into college, I am going to become a land grant university professor because that's what I know exactly how to do. So think outside what you know what you do. You know more than you think you know. And you probably have forgotten more than most people that you're talking to about it, new in the first place. So thank you very much.